That is a blessing. Sometimes we can take it for granted. God is good. All the time. I want to thank the pastor, Pastor Josh, for giving me the opportunity of being here. Praising the Lord with you. The worship was awesome. Awesome. And I'm in very good company today. With me, my pastor, mentor, friend, confident, Pastor Maldonado and Nancy Maldonado. I remember one day I was in the hospital 7 years ago. I was in very, very bad shape. And they came by. Pastor Maldonado was with his guitar praising the Lord. And I was with all kinds of narcotics. I had morphine, I had Dilaudid, I had a whole bunch of narcotics for, you know, for pain management that I was going through. And he thought I was sleeping. But I opened my eyes once in a while and I just started praising the Lord with him. That's the power of worship. So I honor you, and I thank you for your life. My name is Carlos Evans. I live in Cameron, North Carolina. I know you guys see me. I don't have any legs, and I'm missing my left hand. I was with Pastor Maldonado. I was in his house at the apartment. And these little kids come by, they see me, you know, they see me trying to get in the vehicle with my chair. And one of the little kids, they see me, and then he goes back to his apartment. And I'm like, I tell him, you're going to see what's going to happen. Like, other kids are going to come by, they're going to see who's that guy. So all the other kids come by, and they're looking at, who's that guy? They're looking at me, and I'm like, I'm a pirate. Finally, Chuck. I joined the Marine Corps in 2004 when I was in Puerto Rico. After 9/11, I wanted to do something more. I wanted to serve my country. I was watching the news. I was watching everything that was going on. And before all that, I was in Bible college, and I was studying to join the military, but as a chaplain. And everything was going on. I was like, you know what? I got to do this now. And I remember in 2004, I joined the Marine Corps, infantry. I left home. I left my family, my church. And they flew me to South Carolina. It was so cold. And and right there, I became a Marine. After that, I did 4 combat deployments. 3 in Iraq, and my last deployment was to Afghanistan in 2010. I don't regret it. I will do it all over again. I love my country. I love serving others, and I've been blessed. And if there's any veterans here in the house, I thank you for your service, and thank you very much. I want to share a word with you in John 16, verse 33. I have a beautiful wife. Her name is Rosemary, and 2 little girls. I have a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old. Their names are Nairobi and Genesis. So receive greetings from my beautiful, awesome family. John 16, verse 33. I'll read. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I love this verse because it hits home. It's reality. It ain't sugar-coated. And I feel sometimes that in life, that today, sometimes we think that, oh, it's talked about, and you hear a lot, that being a Christian is equal to not having any problems, or not going through any difficulties, or not going through any situations, negative situations in your life. And sometimes we go into life and we want to believe that. I mean, who doesn't? But Jesus is clear. In this life, you're going to have tribulations. You're going to go through difficulties. Life happens. We cry. We mourn. We have to go to the hospital sometimes. What do you tell to a mother that sees her son or a daughter that's sick? What do you tell to a parent that sees a family member or a grandmother or a grandfather that's going through cancer or it's burying someone that they love? There are things in life that we cannot run away from it. It's gonna happen. But that's not the end. Jesus says, you're gonna go through tribulations, you're gonna mourn, you're gonna cry, because life is hard. Life is only easy for the person that doesn't have any goals, that doesn't love anyone, that doesn't have to wake up in the morning and go to work. For him, life probably is easy. But when you have goals, when you love someone, when you're going somewhere, life can be challenging, right? But Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you. You may have tribulations, but of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. So when your faith is in Jesus, when you are a Christian, when Jesus is the center of your life, in life, you may go through cancer, you may go through sickness, you may go through hardship, you may go through obstacles in life. You may go through times where you're going to ask yourself, where is God? God, where are you? Why me? Right? Why am I going through this? What do I deserve to go through this? And it looks like you're going through obstacles in your life. And sometimes, can I move? Sometimes you'll go through obstacles in your life and you feel that you're stuck. And you don't want to be there, but that's the way you feel. But when Jesus is the center of your life, when Jesus is your rock, when Jesus is your savior, when Jesus is your healer, you know what? What looks like an obstacle in life, it's really a step stone. A step stone. A platform. So today I'm living in a platform. Today I'm not feeling sorry for myself. Today I'm not being a victim. Because I stand in the rock. And that rock is Jesus. I think I'm done. I think I'm done. That is life. And I can talk about this because what I'm sharing with you, I have lived it. Yes. I'm not going to talk to you about a movie that I saw, right, of a book that I read. Right. Today I'm sharing with you my life. Yes. I'm sharing with you my tears that turn into a smile. Yes. Yes. into a message. In 2010, when I was in Afghanistan, I'm a Christian. But wait, before this, I was 9 years old. And I had a grandmother. My grandmother was one of those ladies that every time I saw her, she had her Bible, and her Bible was all wrinkled. She was always reading the Bible. We call her name was Abuela Maria. And Abuela Maria was always praying, was always reading the Bible. And that always got my attention. So as a boy, I'm looking at her. She always used to tell me, Carlito. She told me, Carlito. I'm like, yes. I want you to know something. I'm like, yes. God has a purpose in your life. God is going to use you in a mighty way. You're going to travel the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when she used to tell this to me, I was like, I think Abuela is crazy. And Abuela was always, sowing a seed of faith in my life. And she used to tell me, you're going to be a pastor one day. You're going to preach the word. And I was like, wow. When will this happen? So as I was growing up as a kid, I had powerful encounters with the Holy Spirit, with God, and He became my Savior, my everything, and my best friend. So now I'm here in Afghanistan, 2010. I left my two daughters, my wife. I'm in Afghanistan. But I remember before I left, I was in my house and I was playing with a copy machine that I had in my house. And when I'm playing with the copy machine, I took my left hand where I had my wedding ring, and I took my left hand and I, for some reason, I took a picture of it. And I gave it to my wife. She's like, why are you giving this to me? I'm like, I'm giving this to you because, I'm going to be far away from you. You're going to be far away from me. But I just want to give you this. So whenever you feel that I'm not there, and whenever you feel that I'm very far away, I want you to look at this hand and remember how much I love you and how much you love me. And no, I'm in Afghanistan. I'm a sergeant in the Marine Corps. I'm ready to go on a foot patrol with my Marines. And when I'm getting ready to go on this foot patrol, we were in combat a lot that time. Every day we were in combat. We were in dangerous firefights. And there was a lot going on where we were. And there were some Marines that were getting injured, some Marines that were KIA. And we're talking with all the Marines that are around us, what's going to happen, what's going on, what's going to happen with each of one of us. And I used to tell my Marines with this confidence that I had. I used to tell them, it doesn't matter what happens. I want to let you know that I cannot die here. And they're like, Sergeant, but How can you be so sure about that? And I told him, you need to understand something. When I was a kid, I had this grandmother. She was a prayer warrior. And when I was a kid, I got a prophetic word from the Lord that God had a purpose in my life. And I know that God's purpose in my life is much bigger than this desert. It's much bigger than the enemies. And it's much bigger than the bullets, the tanks, and the IEDs. So I know that I cannot die here. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God does not take you to the desert to die. Maybe you feel like you're going through a desert right now. Maybe you feel a little confused in this moment. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen? What I'm going to do? Where I'm going to work? What's going to happen? I cannot control this sickness. I cannot control this situation. And you feel like you're in a desert. But the Bible shows us that when God took his people to the desert, when God took his people to the desert, it wasn't to die, it was to have a closer encounter with them. So God doesn't take you to the desert to give up. God doesn't take you to the desert to be a victim. God doesn't take you to the desert to feel sorry for yourself. God takes you to the desert to give you a new song. My God. God takes you to the desert to give you a new song, to give you a new message, to give you a testimony, to put you in a higher platform, to show the people who is your God, who is your provider. That's what I was telling my Marines. I'm like, I cannot die in this desert. They're like, oh, Sergeant, you look crazy, Sergeant. But I'm like, it's all right. It's all right. So there I am. I'm in my foot patrol, of many foot patrols that I've been. I'm getting ready to go, do our prayer like we did. And here I am. We're going on a foot patrol. In that patrol, we found a lot of IEDs. An IED is an improvised explosive device. It's like a mine. So while we're in this foot patrol, it was May 17, 2010. And we were in a mission, and we ended the mission. We were getting ready to go back. And when we were getting ready to go back, I stand and I looked at where are my Marines, because I was leading the foot patrol. I'm looking at my Marines, where everybody was, and something caught my attention, so I started walking. And I walked like 8 steps. That was the last time I walked in my feet that I had. And while I was walking, I heard an explosion. When I heard the explosion, I felt like my body was in the sky, and my left eardrum, I heard a beep. When I'm in the ground, I see a lot of dirt, and immediately I reacted to, because I was the leader of that group, it was like 19 of us. So I'm thinking everything that we trained, everything that we practiced, I didn't know that I got injured. I thought someone else got injured. So as a leader, I'm calling my medics, my corpsman, we call them corpsman, medic, call my corpsman, and I'm asking him, you know, what's the situation? But while I'm asking him what's the situation, I see my Marines surrounding me. At this time, I want you to understand that I did not feel any pain because my body was in shock. So when I stepped on the IED, immediately I lost both my legs and part of my left hand. But I didn't know what happened. I didn't know what happened to me. It wasn't. I didn't know what was going on. I just knew that there was an explosion. Because like I said, I wasn't in any pain. But I see my Marines, it was like 6 of them, surrounding me. And I'm asking them, what happened? What's the situation? Where's everybody? And I look at the Marines, they're staring at me. And when I see them staring at me, and telling me, Sergeant, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Right there, I'm kind of understanding, okay, it happened to me. Something happened to me. And when I come to that understanding that something happened to me, I was losing a lot of blood. So I was dying in the desert. I was facing death right there. And when I'm coming to all this understanding and seeing all the Marines around me, I'm like, wait, Lord. This cannot be happening. Has anyone been through a situation that you're like, Lord, wait, Lord? This doesn't make any sense. Wait, Lord, this cannot be happening to me. So I'm going through that, and I'm like, in my Marines, I'm like, you're not going to die, you're not going to die. I'm like, I cannot die. But I start praying, and I said, Lord, why am I going through this? And I was dying right there. And I looked at my life. I started looking at my life like a movie. I saw like a movie of my life in seconds. And I started thinking about all the things that I've done and all the things that I haven't done and all the things that I said I was going to do, but I haven't done them yet. And I was like, Lord, please don't let me die. Give me a second chance. And I'm here to tell you today, if you are alive here today, it's because the Lord is giving you a second chance. It's giving you an opportunity to fulfill those things that you said you were going to do, but you haven't done it yet. Today is the day to start a new chapter of that book in your life. And I started, I was getting confused because I'm like, how can this be happening? I'm dying. I'm thinking about my wife. I'm thinking about my daughters. I'm thinking about my family. I'm thinking about everything that's going on. But like I said, I didn't feel any pain. And I was bleeding. But it came a time in the middle of all that I started feeling pain. And the pain was I was burning. My legs exploded. I'm being very real. My hand, I was bleeding. I'm in the middle of the desert. It's sunny. And I'm in pain like I've never felt before in my life. And the reason that now I was feeling the pain and before I wasn't is because the Marines put 9 tourniquets in my body. They tied 9 knots. 4 in my left limb, four in my right limb, and 1 in my left arm. But I kept bleeding. I kept bleeding and bleeding and bleeding. So at the time, I didn't know, you know, what else they could do. I was dying right there. But one of the corpsmen that was there, seeing that the tourniquets were not doing the job, because I was in a very, very bad situation. One of the corpsmen, he took his left, he took his thumb. And he took his thumb and he put it in the artery pain right there in my limbs. So when he put his thumb in my limb, that's when all the pain woke up. But the thing is that while I was feeling a lot of pain, he was saving my life at the same time. Wow. You see, and I learned something from this experience. You know, sometimes, you know, sometimes there are things that are not enough. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we need to go the extra mile for someone. And sometimes, you know what? I was surprised because I was the leader of that group. But I was the one that I was going to take care of them. But here they are taking care of me. So it's awesome. It's great when you have people around you, when you're a leader and you have people around you that are going to lift you up. So when I go into that situation, I learn that, you know, there are things that are not enough. Sometimes I got to go the extra mile. Sometimes I got to give that hug. Sometimes I got to do that visit. Sometimes I got to make that phone call. Sometimes I got to pray that extra hour. Sometimes I got to pray that extra minute. Sometimes I gotta go that extra mile because I know that my neighbor, I know that my family member, I know that my son, I know that my wife, I know that my spouse, I know that my best friend is dying in the middle of the desert. I know that there is someone that wants to steal his hope, that wants to steal his dream, that wants to steal God's purpose in his life. And someone came to visit me to steal away that hope. But the Lord said, no, 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 no. I died in the cross for you. I died in the cross for you. And God put this man, he put his finger right there And that wound that I was bleeding so much from, it hurt. But it kept me alive. And there are things in your life. There's an advice. There's a word. Maybe you're not going to like it. I can't sugarcoat it to you. But sometimes there's a word, an advice, is a decision that it's a life changer in your life. That you got to make it today. You cannot wait until tomorrow. Because that wound is bleeding. You're bleeding your life away. Your family, your children, your future. But today the Lord is here. And he has brought someone like me. I have so many excuses not to not be here today. I don't have legs. I'm missing my hand. But I'm here to tell you, if you give your life to Jesus, if you surrender your wounds to Jesus, if you surrender your hardship to Jesus, I am here to put my hand in that wound and to revive your dreams and to tell you, wake up! My God. I remember we were getting ready. I was screaming. I was yelling. And after all that happened, now I was yelling, please let me die. Because I was going through a lot of pain. And one of the Marines, his name is Corporal Maynard. He grabbed my Kevlar, my helmet. He grabbed my Kevlar. He started shaking my head. He told me, "Son Evans, you're not gonna die today." I'm like, "I wanna die. I can't go through this anymore." He said, "You're not gonna die today." And he's asking, "What's your wife's name?" And I'm like, "Her name is Rosemary." "What's your daughter's name?" And I'm like, "Nairobi and Genesis." And he's telling me, "You know what? You're gonna go home to Rosemary. You're gonna go home to Nairobi and to Genesis. And you're not gonna die here today." I was like, "No, I can't do it." And he said, "Yes, you're going to do it." And he starts shaking me. I wanted to close my eyes. And he starts shaking me, waking me up. He's like, "Wake up, wake up. Wake up, wake up." And I started praying, "Lord, let me go home and see my family again. I'm here today to wake you up. Wake up. What are you doing with your life? Wake up. Stop the excuses. Wake up. Enjoy your life. Wake up." You've been through so much in life. You're supposed to be dead. You're supposed to be in the hospital. You're supposed to be sick. You're supposed to be in jail. But you know what? God had a promise in your life. And that's why you're here today. Because of his grace. Because of his mercy. Because of his purpose. Stop blaming everybody else. No, I'm here because of her. I'm here because of him. I'm here because of this. I'm here because of that. I'm here. You're not blaming. Blame everybody. No, no. Come on, wake up. There's so much to see. There's so much to do. I don't have time to share. Right? My experience. But I need to share with you that after that, 7 days passed. I woke up in Walter Reed Bethesda Hospital in DC. When I woke up, I was in a coma for 7 days. And when I opened my eyes, the first person that I saw was my beautiful wife, Rosemary. I lived 2 years in the hospital. I've had more than 60 surgeries in my body. I went through very, very, very hard times. I ask God a lot, God, where are you? Why me? And in the middle of all these experiences that I was going through, these struggles, because my whole life changed like that. And I thought that I wasn't going to be able to be the father that I promised my daughters I was going to be. I thought I wasn't going to be able to be the husband that I promised my wife I was going to be. I thought that what my grandmother told me when I was a kid, I wasn't going to see it anymore. Because I thought my life was going to be in a hospital bed the rest of my life. There were times that I wanted to die. There were times that I cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. There were times that I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, you are a monster. There were times that I didn't want to leave my room because I didn't want people to see me, because I felt bad when people looked at me all weird because I didn't have my leg, because I was missing my hand. But one day something happened to me. I was, one of those days that I was taking a shower and I'm sitting down. I'm in the shower, sitting down. I couldn't believe what was going on to me. And I started yelling and crying. I left the bathroom and I'm in my room crying and crying. And I'm getting ready to tell my wife, you know what? Just continue with your life and I'll continue with mine. I was like, this is gonna be the end because I don't deserve someone like her. And I was ready to end it. I remember I'm crying, my wife is asking me, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I'm looking at Rosemary and I tell her, you know what? I don't deserve someone like you. I didn't marry you and I didn't promise you this was gonna happen. My wife is looking at me like, what are you talking about? And I'm looking at her, I'm like, I just want you to continue with your life and I'll continue with mine. And just take the girls and do what you gotta do and I'll just stay here. And my wife, she's a prayer warrior. My wife, she tells me, what are you talking about? When the Marines came into the house, knocked on that door, and when I saw those Marines in the house, I started crying. I thought you were dead. But in the middle of all that, I started praying. And I said, Lord, bring them back to me. Bring them back to me. Bring them back to me. That was my wife's prayer. So my wife tells me, when they told me that you were dead, I started praying to God to bring you back alive. And today, you are here in front of me, alive. And she tells me, I'm not a widow. Your daughters are not orphans. You are their father. A hero. And I was like, you're just saying that to make me feel good. And she tells me, I love you for who you are. Amen. And who you're going to be. You got to understand, I was going through PTSD, TBI. I was very depressed. And I tell her, you cannot love me. Look at all my wounds. I had a lot of wounds, a lot of scars in my body, my legs. my limbs. And when I look at all my wounds, you can't love me. And my wife, she's a nurse, she's an RN. And my wife tells me, that's the difference between you and me. She tells me, you see all these wounds in your body, but I only see scars. And I was all confused there. She's like, I only see scars. And you see, when somebody has an open wound and goes to the hospital, they close up that wound and it leaves a scar. And that scar is the evidence that someone healed that wound. So my wife told me, you see all these wounds in your body. What happened to you? That you lost your legs. That you lost your hand. But I don't see wounds, I only see scars. Because each scar in your body is the evidence. It shows me who is your healer. Yeah. It shows me that you're not dead, that you are alive. It shows me that there's a tomorrow. Yeah. It shows me that I can have a hope. Yeah. It shows me that you are a survivor. Yeah. It shows me the answer of my prayers. So I don't see any wounds, I see scars. And if God gave you the strength, if God healed you through this, He's going to heal you through anything that you're going to go in life. And I'm here to tell you today, I don't see any wounds. I don't see a broken heart. I don't see a divorce. I don't see sickness. I don't see tears. I don't see wounds. I don't see no one giving up here today. I see scars. Because those scars, you know what? Scars, they don't go away. I wake up every day seeing my scars. It's something that's not going to go away. There are experiences in life that you got to learn to live with them. You got to learn to live with them because, you know, in this world, we're going to go through tribulations. But be of good cheer. I have overcome your wounds. I have overcome your sorrow. I have overcome your tears. I don't see no one weak today. I have overcome your weakness. I have overcome your weakness. I have made you strong. I want to finish with this. My wife started hugging me and kissing me, and oh my God. We were in D.C., and after that, she's like, and we're going to go to church tomorrow. Church was 7 hours away from D.C., and we drove to church that weekend, and that's another message. But I remember one day, I was in my hometown, Puerto Rico, and I was in this traffic light with a friend of mine. He was driving. I was in the passenger seat. And he's driving and we're in the traffic light. And there was this guy, homeless man in the streets. He's asking for money. And my friend sees him and he tells him, well, I'm gonna give this guy some money. I'm like, okay. So this guy, he comes to the car and he's talking to my friend. But then he looks at me and he starts looking at me all weird. And you know, I was like, what's gonna happen? He's looking at me all weird. I'm like, you know? So when he's looking at me, he started running in front of the car in the middle of the highway, starts running in front of the car, and he comes inside the window where I'm, where I am. He comes inside, and he starts staring at me. And I'm a Marine. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. He looks at me and he tells me, you know what God did to you?
Almost died.
You know what God did to you?
And I was like, this guy's crazy. Can you hear me?
You know what God did to you?
And he's hitting my chest.
You know what God did to you?
And when I'm about to open my mouth, he says, have tribulations, but be of good cheer, because he has overcome the world. One day, I was in my house trying to wear my prosthetics. I have a whole bunch of hands and arms and all that stuff, but my hands didn't fit, and I'm struggling. Wearing my hands and wearing my prosthetics. Because I wanted to look like who I used to look like, you know? And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. How many know that the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart?
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit speaks to my heart, tells me, Carlito, before you had two hands, but now you're touching more people with one hand. You're like, before, you had 2 feet. But now you're leaving more footprints. And many lives without feet. Because all God needs from you is your heart, your commitment, your passion. Give me your hands. Give me your feet. Give me your mind. Give me your heart.
And the Bible says, if you believe, Mark 9:23, all things are possible. I want to close with prayer. Is there anyone in here today that feels that's broken, that feels that's wounded? Just lift up your hand, because I want to pray with you. Is there anyone here that wants to commit his life to Jesus, to my Savior, to my best friend? Just lift up your hand and say, Lord, I want to commit my life to you. Is there anyone here that wants to be used by God? God, use me. Take my life. Today I'm traveling the world. Today I'm enjoying my family. Today I'm enjoying my wife, enjoying my girls. I don't have any regrets. Just lift up your hand. Father, in the name of Jesus. And if you want to come to the altar and just kneel down and pray, just this is the time. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray with each of one of family members, brothers, sisters, spouses, husbands, youth that are here. I pray, Lord, that you will convert by the power of your Holy Spirit. Every wound, you will convert it in a scar. And you will use that scars as a testimony, as a message of hope, of resilience to these families, to their communities, and to the nations. God, I ask you, Lord God, to give them a new song, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to give them the strength, to give them the wisdom. I ask you, God, O Holy Spirit, if there's anyone here that feels that wants to give up, that feels that he cannot do it anymore, Lord, give him the strength, give him the wisdom. And if there's anyone here today that wants to commit his life to Jesus, just say, Jesus, I open my heart to you so you can be the center of my life. So you can make me strong. In Jesus' name. Amen.